Why is it so quiet in here? Hallelujah. This is not a funeral. We're not conducting a funeral here this morning. You should be joyful. You should be worshiping your God. Jump up and down, cry, weep, crawl on the floor. Be free from all holes of the devil. Hallelujah. Because you shall hear the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, hallelujah. Part 6. You thought it was safe to come to church, huh? Well, you're going to get it until you get it. Amen. And then when we get it, we know that something's going to happen inside the church. Hallelujah. Because revival doesn't start from outside. It starts in your heart. It starts inside the church. Amen? So you don't go looking for it outside anywhere. You don't wait for it to come from somebody. You create it inside your heart, inside the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, everybody. It is good that I go away, that the Holy Ghost should come and be with us. And that's God's promises to us. And the Holy Ghost is living and dwelling in you right now. And if you have not received the Holy Spirit, today is a great day for salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so happy to see you. I miss you guys when these silly lockdowns happen and we don't see each other. And I'm just blessed that you're here this morning to be able to give your hug physically and, give you high five or elbow five or knee five. Whatever kind of five you want to give people, feel free to do that. Wave to somebody and say, hey, welcome to church this morning. Hallelujah. If you're visiting us this morning, we want to say, Jen, you're part of the Defender Church, so I'm not going to welcome you. Welcome, my dear. Good to see you today. I'm so blessed to see you. Welcome those who are visiting us this morning. If you're watching from home, from live stream, we welcome you. I pray that the Word of God will do something in your life, that you don't just become hearers of the Word, but become doers of the Word. Hallelujah. Well, my message hasn't changed. I'm still on the path. It's a big, 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 big topic. And it's probably the best time to be releasing and talking about these things inside the church, because the season calls for it. Amen? The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Topic this morning is from fullness to power. Ooh, hallelujah. From fullness to power. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. That's our first scripture. But I'll be coming from that scripture a lot more to speak on that. But I just wanted to read the scripture with you this morning. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, Jesus always goes back to the Word. Even though he's the Word, he always goes back to the Word. And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 5, and the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. You know, I said last week, do not even start to tempt God or test God. Amen? The devil uses this kind of tactics to bring what is not real, the word of God, counterfeit. And he shall give his angels charge over you, he says, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Always goes back to the word. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And listen to the Lord's word. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray as always I pray, as I've always prayed, you hide me from the people. Lord, that they just hear your word and your voice. Because your word is powerful. Your voice is powerful. Lord, help us to tune into the spiritual realm to hear your voice clearly. Because we know that there are many other voices being spoken right now in this world today. But Lord, let your sheep be able to understand and hear your voice. And I pray that over the people this morning. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Watch over your word, O God, to fulfill it in our lives. But not only that, to ignite it and empower it, O God, that we become doers of this word and not just hearers of the word. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. According to Scripture, Jesus entered the wilderness in the fullness of the Spirit. And the Scripture also says that the very Spirit that had just come upon him led him into the wilderness. Not Satan. Satan didn't lure him into the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Spirit. The same Spirit that came upon him in the River Jordan when John baptized him. That same Spirit led him into the wilderness. The Bible says it led him. And the Holy Spirit led him. That means he was still in control and was obedient to the Spirit of God. Amen? He was still in control and he was still obedient to the Spirit of God. Jesus did not just come out of the water and go straight to Jerusalem like most of us love to do. Out of the baptism, on to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. There is a principle that the Holy Spirit is teaching us. And I want you to hear it very carefully. Jesus did not just come out of the water and go straight to Jerusalem to proclaim the gospel. Instead, the Spirit led him into a barren place, alone, at his most vulnerable state. That's the key point. Jesus was in his most vulnerable state that any man can go through so that the enemy can come and tempt him and try him out. Why? I'll tell you why. The reason is that God is supreme confidence in his Spirit. God is very confident about his Holy Ghost. The Spirit that he gave Jesus is confident of that Spirit. Hallelujah. He is very confident. The Spirit abiding within the limit in a vessel that is true can enable you and I or man to withstand even the ultimate temptation that the world throws us up. That is how confident God is. How confident are we in the Holy Spirit this morning? How confident am I to be able to speak truth and believe in the truth, that the truth itself will set you free? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Unaided by any of my circumstances that is in my favor. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Unsupported by natural strength. It is not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Unsupported by my natural strength to reveal and overcome the most subtle lies of the enemy. Especially when they came to me at a time where I most needed comfort and power that they offer me. My friends, the world is going to offer you everything. But at the end of the day, you must trust the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. How confident are we with the Holy Spirit? How confident are we with the Word of God? Amen. Hallelujah. When I most needed the comfort and power they offer, we must understand that this principle and lesson that the Holy Spirit is teaching us, it's not just mere verbal truth. Just truth itself with your verbal truth cannot sustain you. Amen. I talked about the functional faith of God that must happen in our life. Not the foundational faith. Foundational faith that God exists alone cannot help you. But it's the functional faith, believing that God's word is going to work, believing that the Holy Ghost is going to do what he says he's going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what God is requiring from us. Amen. Foundational faith alone is not enough. We need the functional faith, faith that says this mountain we can move by the word of God. Hallelujah. That's what God is requiring of us this morning. Hallelujah. How confident am I with the Holy Ghost? I am so confident. You know why? It's changing your life. Amen. It's doing something in your spirit. It's doing something in people's life that I have not seen before. I'm starting to see it happen in this church. Hallelujah. That validates God's word and God's truth. That I can stand here and rely only on the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Hallelujah. And if it cannot sustain me in the wilderness, it will not be able to empower me back into my Galilee and my Nazareth and my Jerusalem. when I go to proclaim and demonstrate the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. Jesus was led into the wilderness in the fullness of the Spirit, the Bible says, and he came out of the wilderness and went into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. If there is no fullness going into temptation, then there can't be any power coming out of temptation. We need the fullness. We need the Holy Ghost power to be able to speak truth and preach the gospel that Jesus wants us to preach. Only that can we achieve the purpose of our lives on this earth. Not aided by all this other stuff that we want to bring into church so that we can create this thing that we say that's God moving. You don't need smoke machines and lights. You don't need to try and pamper up anything in the Word of God to make it become truth. Truth is truth. Whether you put clothes on it, you take clothes off it, it is still truth. Amen. And the lie is still the same. They can quarantine you, lock you down, but they cannot lock down truth. They will never lock down truth and quarantine truth. Hallelujah. Every need and desire that comes to us, both natural and spiritual, brings in temptation to resort to lie in order to fulfill something. That's why I said don't lie or don't pretend that something's going to change anybody and come here and say something pretending that it's going to work. We must rely totally on the Holy Spirit. Nothing else and nothing more. Hallelujah. If the Holy Ghost is not in it, shut it down. Go home. Hallelujah. If temptation comes and finds pride, pretense, compromise, play acting in us, it will just penetrate through that verbal defense that leaves us without any real power when we go to our Galilee. Oh, hallelujah. We got crusades coming up. We're preparing for crusades coming up. Hallelujah. And that's why this kind of word has to be released to you so that there is no pretense in the kingdom of God. You cannot pretend to be a Christian. This is a lifestyle that you live. And the power of the Holy Ghost has to be revealed in you. It has to be able to show itself to people in the world. And the season and time we live in requires it, my friends. There is no more time to play nice church on the corner. Oh, I'm sorry, I got to say it again. You didn't hear me. There is no time to play nice church on the corner. God is empowering His church to take on the work. Amen. Hallelujah. Because persecution is coming and it's already here. It's already happening. Hallelujah. Jesus was led into the fullness of the Spirit. And He came out with such fullness. The Bible says He was what? Filled to the brim with the Holy Ghost. One person with the power, so much power. That's why you have been cleaned by the blood of Jesus, so that He can live that Holy Ghost inside of you. Because the Holy Ghost don't operate on unnatural environments or a sinful nature. Come on, listen to me carefully. And please, stop using grace to hide everything and sweep it under the carpet. Let's not do that now. Because the more we keep doing that, the more we lose the power inside the church. Hallelujah. I am so excited about the season that we're living in. I know something is going to happen. And can I say this to you? More often, temptation will come. And when we are in a lonely place, barren places, weak and vulnerable, that's when the temptation comes. But like I said, what will it find? What will temptation find? What will it find in your life? Is it pride? Is it pretense? Is it just verbal defense? What will it find? We cannot, your pretense to be a Christian cannot stop you from temptation. Hello, somebody. Pretend to be a Christian cannot stop temptation in your life. Play acting inside the church doesn't stop the devil. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why we need to live truth. Hear the truth, become truth. Hallelujah. But if we come out of our Jordan and have the Spirit abiding in us in full and having the unshakable assurance of our Father's pleasure, then temptation should work to us like a catalyst to move us into the things of God. Hey! Temptation should be helpful to us. It should be a catalyst for our lives in transforming us into full power in God. Hallelujah. Yes. The power of the Spirit becomes reality in us to a degree that every other false power has been resisted and rejected. Oh, hello, somebody. That's what God is requiring from His people He calls by His name. Those who are called by His name should operate in that principle. Hallelujah. Young people, listen to me. If you're going to school right now, don't play around with your life. If you need to come to youth, you come to youth. Parents, you kick them out of the door and bring them here yourself into the church. I am serious, I'm telling you. Your life is not in your hands, you young people in schools. Listen to me. That your teachers will persecute you. The people inside the school will persecute you. So you need to understand that this is not a time to play around with your sinful friends, your friends you call friends. Change your friends. Change your friends. Because your friends are going to get you into hell. Come to church. I don't care how cool you are. How cool you speak and act and talk with your phone and Instagram and all this. Come to church. I'm not going to be playing around, pampering you up and changing your nappies every day. I'm talking to my children too. Are you listening, children? Everybody should be saying, yes, Dad, we are listening to you. Praise the Lord. I am serious. I am seeing persecution come in such a way. This morning I received a call that one of my friends was suspended from his work because he said something. A little young boy that we're looking after got suspended because he said something from school. This is not a time to be playing around with what the devil is doing inside your life. Stop thinking that your life is going to be the same and the season is going to be the same. It's not the same anymore. Listen to the word of God. Start getting the word of God inside your life. Hallelujah. I'm talking to the young people at school now. I'm yelling at you and shouting at you so you can hear it. And so everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The power of the Spirit must become real in us. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned into the power of the Spirit in Galilee, and the news of him went out through all surrounding region. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't have to put posters up. He didn't have to do anything. People says, man, have you heard about this guy called Jesus Christ? Have you heard about this man? Have you heard about the power in his life? Verse 16, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Our Nazareth is the last place we should go unless we are certain of the power of the Spirit. Hello, somebody. Our Galilee and Nazareth are significant because that is where we are brought up. Jesus, after inside the wilderness, went straight to where he grew up. The Bible says they didn't, even John who baptized him, didn't recognize him. Hallelujah. John was Jesus' nephew. They grew up together. They shared toys together. They played in the same playground together. But John says, I did not know him. I did not know that he was a Messiah. Wow. That's why nobody can tell you who you are. Don't let your teacher tell you that you're a B student. She's probably a C teacher. Hallelujah. I don't believe, I receive reports from my teachers every time I'm talking to my son. I'm looking at him going, I believe in what God has got for you. Rubbish. I don't listen to what they say. I listen to what God says about my children. And I believe everything that God says about my children. Hallelujah. Jesus went directly to the people who knew him. The greatest test is always at our doorstep. Among those who know our weaknesses and our blemish, who see us walking out in our faith daily. It is easy to bluff and deceive somebody that don't know you. Oh, hello, somebody. It is easy to go to somebody who doesn't know you and bluff and pretend to be a Christian. But God sent Jesus straight to his family. They know who Jesus was. When I went back to Yothuini, they said, isn't it the drummer for Yothuini? What happened? He's preaching on the streets. He's standing in front of the marketplace in Port Moresby preaching the gospel. Isn't it the guy that just joined Yothuini? That's the testimony that they should be having about your life. Amen. Hallelujah. That is what they said to Jesus. They said, isn't that the son of Joseph? The son of the carpenter? Hallelujah. When no one can look at us and say, isn't this Joseph, the carpenter's son? Verse 16 to 19, it says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his customs was, he went into the synagogue on the day, on the Sabbath, and stood up to read. Verse 17, and he was handed a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Hallelujah. How good and powerful is God. On the very day, every year, there had to be a particular scripture spoken out inside the synagogue by the priest or those where they were called to speak the word. And on that day, it was fulfilled by Jesus when he stood inside and he picked up the book. They opened it up to the book of Isaiah. And verse 18, and the Spirit of the Lord, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 20, and then he closed the book. After he read the scripture, he closed the book, put it down, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes of everybody inside the synagogue was glued on him. And I love Jesus. He could have easily just said that and go, thank you very much, and walk out. Instead, he said something, and that's the reason why they wanted to stone him. And eyes, the Bible says, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which were proceed out of his mouth. And they said, it is not that Joseph's son. Something happened inside that place when Jesus spoke. And he spoke like he was the one. The Jews looked at him and goes, look, he's talking like that's him now talking. He's talking like that word is talking about him. Jesus said, yeah. That scripture is fulfilled right now through me. Hallelujah. Friends, let me just say this. The broken and the captive inhabitants of our Nazareth and our Galilee and our Jerusalem are waiting to hear such words again. They're waiting to hear those words again. Skeptics need to hear those words again. Skeptics need to turn and fix their cynical gaze on the church and say, isn't that Joseph's son? We should be hearing words like that about this church. Isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't that Joseph's son? In all of you sitting here this morning, they should be validating the work of Christ in our life by saying things like that. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray, may the day come when what was said about Jesus will be said about the church. Will it be said about our church here this morning? Will it be said about you and your family and your all your family and the church that you go to? Will it be said about you? Verse 32, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Oh, hallelujah. That day needs to come, because there is another day coming, my friends, when illusions that man cling on to for security and sanity will crumble and dissolve. It's happening around us. My friend I found out this morning, Digby. Digby got suspended. Digby is a guy who followed me up. The reason why I'm in church today was because of this man called Digby. He followed me up and made sure that I stayed in church. And that's how I stayed in church and didn't go out the back door and become just like everybody else. Become, a victim of no follow-up and no fellowship and all these things like that. Digby got suspended. And I found it out from a friend. But those things are starting to surface out of the hidden parts that we didn't know. That's the kind of persecution that would come to us, those who are called by his name. People who are easily offended. What is this world coming to now? Everybody's so offended about everything. I have a good name for a t-shirt. You want to hear that? I'm bubble wrap because I don't want to offend you. We have to bubble wrap ourselves now. People who are offended should not walk into a room full of sharp objects, I reckon. Because they cut themselves and they get offended. Now we have to bubble wrap ourselves to be near them. What is wrong with these people? Hallelujah. So you bubble wrap yourself. Put it on your t-shirt. I'm bubble wrap because I don't want to offend you. I'm not the one that's fragile. You are. So I'm just protecting you. Oh, I'm going to print that t-shirt. I love that t-shirt. I walked into the service station and this lady started laughing at me because I had a t-shirt. And the t-shirt says, do not give this man any beer. By order, his spouse. And I walked into the and I forgot I had the T-shirt. So I walked into the service station to pay for the fuel. And the lady said, "Laughing, Greg, I love your T-shirt." I said, "Oh, sorry, I didn't realize I was wearing the T-shirt." And she says, "Oh, did your wife write that?" Well, I said, "No, my wife will write something different." Shut up. Get to the doghouse. Who said that? That's it, Alan. Deal with it. The shut up range of clothes. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Jesus was blunt. He said in John chapter 15, verse 18 to 19, he says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." Amen. Don't be surprised. If you were of the world, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of this world, and I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You didn't know that, did you? Well, now you know. You probably sitting going, "Why am I getting this persecution all the time?" Go and read John chapter 15, verse 18 to 19. He wonders about all this stuff. Paul added in his warning, he says, all who desire, John, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 to 13 says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you're an imposter, you will not go through this situation. But if you're a true follower of Christ Jesus that have the Holy Ghost living inside of you, that's what you're going to go through. You know, one of the points I want to bring to you is that we see persecution as a call to courageous perseverance. Persecution should get us to persevere. See, the church would not have grown in the book of Acts if persecution didn't come. And because of persecution, it strengthened the church and it brought the church to where you are. You and I are the result of the persecuted church in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. David said to the Lord, "Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hated me." Psalms 25, verse 19. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. This was the experience of someone that the Lord described as a man after my own heart. Hallelujah. If he faced violent hatred, we should expect the same, and we should pray for God's protection as we continue to share God's word. I am constantly praying for your protection, constantly praying for my protection, for my children as they go to school. Cover them by the blood of Jesus, because you're sending them into the wolf's den every time you get up in the morning. Don't for 1 minute think this world is the same. It is not. Hallelujah. This was the experience of someone that was so close to God. And here was what the secret of David's courage was. He says, listen to what David says. Psalm 16, verse 8. I love this scripture. It says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be shaken." Hallelujah. Church, let's do the same. Let's put the Lord before us and on our right hand every time we walk. Hallelujah. Number 2 point is this: we seek the reward of God before the acclaim of culture. It has to be the reward of God as opposed to the acclaim of culture or what men will say good things about you. Don't worry about what people say bad things about you. They don't know you. Amen. Why are you worried about people that don't know you? You have a God that loves you and knows you better than anybody else. That's enough to say, "Hey, thank you, Jesus." You can walk through anything and not get offended or angry about something. Seek the reward of God before the acclaim of man or acclaim of culture. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. I'm giving you some scriptures to study. It is often possible to serve both Christ and Caesar. Joseph was able to serve the Egyptian Pharaoh and his Jewish family. Listen to what the people of God were in. They were off in the world, but not of the world. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the Persian king and the governor of Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah. Esther was a queen in Persia, and as well as her people's protector. But when we must choose, listen to me, we must choose Christ over Caesar anytime. Hallelujah. Peter and John said to the Sanhedrin's demand that the apostles cease preaching. Listen to what they say. It's in Acts chapter 4, verse 19 to 20. He says, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot speak of what we have seen or heard." Daniel praying to God in defiance of the king's verdict or edict. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Why am I bringing scriptures like this? Because it's coming. They're going to start putting masks over you. You think that mask is for something, for a disease? It's not. Oh, hello, somebody. It's a sign to shut you up and keep you shut every time. You know, there's a new seatbelt that they've got out now for those who would love to drive with masks in the car. There's a new car seat that has a seatbelt that you can walk around with outside too. Now, you didn't get that. this world, it just drives me. You know what this thing, every time I see this thing, it just gives me more power. Amen. It just gives you that more. Amen. I just, okay? I'm going to say things that people are going to get offended about. And you, of all people, should never be offended inside a church. There should be no bone of offense inside your body. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we'll have to bubble wrap you every time you come into church. So that you knock yourself and get offended. Put all the sharp objects away. Look out, this person's coming in. He might get offended, right? You know, Jeremiah risked his life to speak the prophetic truth to the king. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 14 to 23. It is a paradoxical fact that the less we seek the acclaim of people, the more faithfully we can minister to them. The less you seek the praise of men, the more powerful and cutting edge you will be in speaking the truth. Amen. To the people. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're trying to please your boss, you will not preach the gospel to him. If you're trying to be so nice to people, you will never speak the truth to him. Hallelujah. We can really be in the world, involved in the world, actively engaging in the world, precisely because we do not belong to it. Precisely because that is not where our dwelling place is. Precisely because our home is in God. We can be in the world and speak words of healing or confrontation, of invitation or challenges. Number 3 point is this. Choose to engage the culture with truth and grace. Hallelujah. Jesus' words were emblazoned in all libraries and universities across the land. He says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. John chapter 8, verse 32. That context of the scripture is vital. We've been on this for part 6 now. This is part 6 of our You Shall Hear the Truth and the Truth Shall Set You Free. If you miss 1, 2, and 3, go to the podcast and get it. You know, the word that has been released, somebody said to me, no one's preaching this in the church. I said, good. We're going to preach this in the church. Amen. I'll find anything that is not preached in church, and I'll preach it inside the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's changing the hearts of that person. He says, man, I'm receiving. He said, Pastor, this is powerful. I said, yeah, where have you been? Who's been teaching you? Which Bible college did you go to? Who's been indoctrinating you in Christianity? Come on, we talk about kingdom things here. Amen. We're not about doctrines and dominations and all that. We're about the kingdom of God, speaking the truth of the word of God to the people every time. Hallelujah. In the previous verse, and Jesus' words are, you know, he says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. In the previous verses, our Lord said to the Jews who had believed in him, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Amen. Listen, take this really seriously today. Amen. Only on this condition would they know the truth and set free by it. Yes. Here is what we must learn from our journey of truth from 1 to 6. Humans find freedom only in obedience to the word of God. Hello, somebody. Amen. There is freedom when it comes to obeying the word of God. Hallelujah. People are saying, oh, I need to go and get that jab because it's my freedom. That's not even a freedom. Because I love my freedom. You are succumbing to something because you believe that if you do that, you're going to have your freedom. Come on, we've got to be really be clear about these things and speak about it openly so that we in this church know what's going on. I don't really care what you think about me. I care what the Word of God thinks about all that is happening today. Hallelujah. People come and sit down and get offended, don't come back again. Praise the Lord. We are not here to pamper people up and powder their noses. We are here to give them the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible says you have the willpower to choose from right or wrong. God has not taken that off you. He gave you one of the greatest gifts that he has, and that is the freedom of will to choose. And he will never control that in your life, because the devil uses the same principle. The devil doesn't grab you by the hand and says, yeah, go down to the, roll up a joint and follow me. Let's go and rob a bank. The devil doesn't grab you. You don't really literally feel his hand on your hands and he's like, devil, I don't want to go and rob the bank. I don't want to drink. I don't want to smoke marijuana. I don't want to look at pornography. No, devil. You know where he does work with you? In your will. The devil only tempts you. He has no control over you. You have the power to choose from right or wrong. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So what is the point of what me saying that? Stop blaming the devil. The poor guy's had enough. He's probably sitting out there weeping now. You go out there, he'll be sitting there. This guy's came inside and they're still blaming me for everything. Stop blaming the devil. Everything that we do is self-inflicted, and it's choices. Bible, that's why we cannot become lawlessness inside the church. Grace didn't come and take law away. Grace brought us in to obey the law. Grace brought us in to bring the spirit of the law back so that we can walk in obedience. I said last week, if your life is a mess, stop praying, shut up. Go back to the word and say, which principle did I break that my life is a mess right now? Prayer doesn't change anything. If you keep praying, praying, and not listening to the Holy Ghost, what is the point of praying? Maybe I should stop here. As a result, when we speak truth to culture, we are giving others a gift that they desperately needed but can find it nowhere else. When you speak truth to somebody, you are giving him a gift. A doctor will not tell you that you need a surgery and is going against something. He's telling you the truth. You need surgery because you need healing. A lawyer will not tell you to go and do certain things so that you don't go into more trouble. He doesn't tell you that. They give you a gift of choice to choose what is right and what is wrong. The Bible does the same. The Holy Ghost gives us the same principles. Hallelujah. Counter to the postmodern claim that all truth is personal and subjective, which makes evangelism and ministry an imposition or imposition of our beliefs on others, we are sharing good news that is vital and transforming. Continue to share the good news to your family, to your friends, to your people. Hallelujah. Don't worry about what they're going to say. Words cannot change anything in your life. Hallelujah. If you're always bubble wrapped about words, then you may have a problem. Hallelujah. That's so we need to speak truth to the people. It is urgent that we continue to speak biblical truth to cultural issues. And it is also urgent that we speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. In fact, such kindness is especially important as our response to the unkindness of others. Jesus told his followers in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 39, he says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, I love Jesus. He says, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I love Jesus. If you study his word and study the culture, why did he say that? This is not for you to go and test God and say, yeah, slap me on the right. And then when he finishes, he goes, yeah, I'm giving you the left to slap it. I'll tell you a funny story. Revival broke out in PNG. I came out from that revival. And the Pentecostal movement, the Holy Ghost moved into the Anglican church. And real persecution started. People were literally fighting, like church against church. Anglicans were burning down the church. The Pentecostals would go down and burn the Anglican church out. And then they were testing the word of God. They says, yeah, slap me. This is literally what was happening. And so this guy slapped him and he goes, turn the other, and he slapped him again. And then he did it the third time. And the guy said, hey, where in the Bible did it say three? I don't have three cheeks. I have left and right. Where did you get the three from? This is literally what people put the word of God to test like that. But let me give you a powerful culture, but why God says that, what Jesus said that. In the days of Jesus, you ready? The left hand was never used in public. As a result, if I slap you on your right cheek with my right hand, it must deploy a backhand motion. This is correction. This is violence. According to Jesus, said, study the culture. Don't go and quote scriptures and then and do silly things. Jesus uses those words because he meant what he said. This is correcting people. Because you hit them backhand, you hit them on their right cheek. And if you go the other way around, that's actually violence. Hallelujah. As a result, if I slap you on the right cheek like that, I must deploy a backhand motion. This is obviously, they call it a shaming rather than life-threatening. I'm just shaming you because you made a mistake. Now shut up. Stay focused now. Come on. Let's stay focused. You know, when you read words like, when you read and study the culture of Jesus, it makes a lot of sense when Jesus said. And this is obviously a shaming action rather than a life-threatening attack. You didn't know that, didn't you? Well, now you know. So no more forward motion. It was backhand with love. But make sure when you do it, build your doghouse ready to go in there. Jesus' words depict physically what culture, you know, cancel culture through social media attempts to do verbally according to our God, we must not respond in kind. Don't respond in kind to cancel culture, my friends. If you shut up, they'll cancel you. They cancel everything. You sneeze, they'll get offended, cancel you. Oh, somebody say amen to that. Scripture is clear. We are to put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Instead, we are to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy towards all people. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. With our words and attitudes, we are to reflect the truth and the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let me conclude this by saying, Paul encouraged Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. We do this by our personal character. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. To pursue, the Greek word for pursuing means to run after. You got to go after it. It doesn't come to you. You got to run after it. Paul says, I beat myself into subjection to the things of God. Run after it. Hallelujah. I'm convinced that if Paul was here, he'll be all over Facebook. I know. My goodness, they'll cancel Paul. Nothing would be done. Listen, nothing would be done at all if a man waited till he could do it so well and no one could find fault in it. We make mistakes every time, but the Bible says, get up by faith and go and do it. Make mistakes. Learn from it. You cannot wait till it's really perfect, that you got it all perfect to go and do it so that no one can speak against that. Go and do it. By the power that is inside of you, in full, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Those who oppose biblical truth may try to cancel those who proclaim it. But we know how the story ends. You want to know how it ends? In two words, it says, we win. Read Revelations, my friends. At the end of this book, it tells you and I that we win, regardless of what comes against us. We can summarize that. In the meantime, let's be faithful to speak biblical truth with biblical grace. Let's remember that those who reject this truth need it most. And let's choose the courage that honors Jesus and demonstrate the relevance and the power of our faith to our fallen world. My friends, truth has no special time on its own. It is now. Truth, its hour is now. Always now. Don't wait for later to talk. Tell truth. Tell it now. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to pray. And I'm going to ask you to stand up. And we're going to raise our hands before God. Because this is part 6 of our truth messages now. But I want to pray something that is very specific for us. And I want you to pray this prayer. Get into this prayer with me and believe that God is going to do what he's going to do. Amen?
Hallelujah.
And if you need more prayer, you want to be empowered by the Spirit of God, need some firepower inside of you again, you are most welcome to come and we can pray with you. But I want to pray a general prayer with everybody. Hallelujah. I believe that at the end of this session that we've gone through for part six now on truth, it has to be a special prayer that I want to pray with you. I'm going to speak the word. I've spoken the word of God to you. And I tell you one thing, that I will always protect you. I've met pastors and people that are always talking against certain congregations at the church. But if you are in this church, I will protect you first. You are important to this church. You are important to what God is doing in this church. And you shall be protected by me. I will protect you. I will not say anything against you or say things against you when you're not there to defend yourself. Are you listening to me? Because I'm hearing people always scrutinizing people. Because when you build your own kingdom, you are going to be worried about who's coming to your church. I'm not worried about who's coming here. I'm worried about how real you are with your walk with God. Are you a fake or are you real with God? That's what I'm worried about. That's all God is concerned with. Our worship has to be real before God. It has to be truth before God. We become truth that we can be revealed truth. We don't just speak truth. Truth has to be alive in us. It has to be revealed through us. Hallelujah. I'm worried about that more, concerned about that more than floating around people and butterfly spirit and flower pot Christians, moving them around. I want you to grow in the things of God. Hallelujah. We don't have much time. I said last week, I'm constantly here fighting against what the world is throwing at you in media, in social media, television, news, all these things. Every preacher, evangelist, pastors who are on pulpit are fighting against those mediums that have become part and parcel of life of a lot of people. That's why I said, stop watching television. Go to your university of silence and pray. See something, see the news, go and interpret it according to what God says. God, this is happening, we know this is happening, but I'm praying today that this will not happen to our family or people protect us and keep us safe. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands before God. We're going to pray. Oh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Papa God, you tasol mi plo worship him you. You know, narplo God. This is the same God. You tasol Joshua looking you na talk. It's from me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. All those that have come before you, vowed their allegiance to you, and served you faithfully. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray if we ever have asked what we be only hearers of the word, but doers. We ask it now. And even as we ask, we tremble, for we acknowledge that we do not have the courage for this. Yes, we are cowards. We are afraid of what men will say. We are afraid of what our husbands or our wives will say or do. We don't know how to relate to each other. We do not even know how to begin to speak the things that the truth. We have been silent for too long. We have been satisfied too long with just getting by. Papa God, I pray, what you have called us is a revolution. And we do not have any stomach for it, because we have to admit that we prefer convenience to truth. But precious God, we love you. We desire you to see your kingdom established on the earth. How can we call you the King of Kings and not yield to the kingdom way? And so, Lord, we ask you for your grace and your mercy as we seek to walk in truth. Hallelujah. We want you to rejoice, oh God. We want to see your heart gladdened, and we are sick and tired of just merely mouthing hallelujahs and amens and singing choruses. We want you really to have satisfaction and joy as you look upon your people, your children who walk in truth. Oh Lord, help us, let it begin today. Show us in your gentle way by the Spirit where we need to make corrections, where we have been slipping through the full stop signs and have not noticed. Show us that when you say full stop, it means Full stop. Oh, hallelujah. Papa God, I thank you. When you say love, you mean love. When you say truth, you mean truth. Not approximately or kind of, but actual perfect and loving truth. Totally. We ask your blessing, O Lord, on us. This church, Living Light Gospel Church, that to the degree that our hearts are determined to walk in this way, your grace shall lead us where the tire meets the road. May we dare to live by faith, willing also to perish, if you be not the God who brings life out of death. We would rather fail than get by. Hallelujah. May we enter the realm of your grace that we have never before known. And may the grayness be dispelled from our lives. Lord, our marriages, from our congregation, as an increasing measure of light and joy come with the coming of your reality. Hallelujah. Thank you that you're a God of urgent speaking. God, you are God. There is no other God like you. There is no other God like you. You are the God. We love you and praise you for being such the one. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship him before we go. I want God to work in your life. Thank you, Lord. I want the kids to come. I want all you high school students come here this morning. I want to pray for you because I'm seeing the persecution starting inside your life. I'm seeing your teachers starting to go against you. I want you to come. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to continue to pray for your children every time. If you're visiting this morning, to come. Don't sit there and say, I'm cool. I don't have to worry about anything. Persecution and the devil works in ways that you don't know. If you don't understand the spiritual realm, you'll be in trouble. I want you to come out here. Don't let pride and all these things keep you from coming and receiving something from God this morning. I can stay and let you go out and live your life. That's fine. Your life is your life. But I have a responsibility to pray and to make sure that you are guided by the Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. I have seen people getting sacked from their jobs because they're Christians. I have seen people getting suspended from school because they're Christians. It is happening, my friends. Don't think for 1 minute that we are safe. We are safe in God, but we're only safe in those who stay close to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a burden in my heart today, and I will continue to pray with the children. Hallelujah. Parents, raise your hands and stretch it towards the little ones here. I've said it before, their life has never been the same. All they know about is coronavirus, 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 vaccination, coronavirus, nothing else. COVID-19, they're so smart about those things now. Even the kids know what causes COVID-19. Their life is a mess right now. And we parents must never, never take for granted their life. I saw a picture of a father running with a child crying in Afghanistan. And they're Christians, they're getting persecuted. And I was praying yesterday, driving, praying for this nation, praying for the persecuted churches and praying for those. We have it so good in Australia. We have it so good in this nation. Our prayer should be this. Our prayer should be that our people, the politicians that we voted in, should not succumb to the pressures of this government they're trying to form. Australia should stand and become the nation that will watch over the Pacific. We are the outermost part of the world. All of you that are here, whether you're from PNG, Africa, wherever you are here because God called you to be here, to be praying for this nation of Australia. Standing with our brothers and sisters, our Indigenous and our fellow brothers and Australian, all Australians, we must stand with them and pray because God has given us this nation to come and stay, live our comfortable lives and work and earn money and all that blessing that comes. And we must not forget to pray for this nation. The freedom is still with us, and we must continue to pray. Don't take for 1 minute that it's going to be safe. It is not. They will try everything to bring their control over here. When I was praying, I saw a light that shined over the Australia and over the Oceania area, the Pacific. And I pray, God, bring men of principle into every government. Yeah. Every prime minister of Fiji, New Caledonia, Vanuatu, Australia, Papua New Guinea, all those people should become men of principle. Because only through that we can see the kingdom of God operating inside our nation. The Bible has to become our constitution of every nation. We know that Jesus is going to come back and establish. You know the new world order they're talking about? The new world order is Jesus. That's the world that's going to have peace when Christ comes back to rule and reign. He's coming back. That's the kingdom that you and I will live in. But for now, pray for the nation of Australia. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our premier. Amen. And continue to pray for our children. Pray for one another. Prayer is our warfare. Prayer is where we go to fight these things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Kids, I want you to raise your hands this morning. And close your eyes. And you know me, I will always pray for you every Sunday. When you come here, when the Holy Spirit says to pray with you, I will pray with you. Your life is not the same as every one of our lives. You know, but I'll give you the word of God. I love this scripture. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You go and read it, and you ask your mom and dad to explain to you. God knows your spirit, the very spirit that is in you now. See all this body that you have? That's just flesh. That's just dirt. Dirt will happen when you die. That goes back to the ground where it belongs. But your spirit, the real you, lives inside of you. That's the spirit that God knows very well. Not your teacher doesn't know you. Your teacher don't know that spirit. Only Jesus knows that spirit. Only Jesus can communicate with that spirit. No one else, not your teacher, your principal, not even your mom and dad knows your spirit. That's exciting, amen? So you can thank your mother and say, thank you for bringing me out here. Now I got to go and live my purpose in God. Because when you discover your purpose in God, your parents will support you all the way through, amen? Your spirit is important to God. That's why I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Papa God, I thank you. Lord, before your presence, as I've prayed already, but I pray today for our children. Lord, we know that you brought them forth. Your word says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, even before, you said to Jeremiah, even before they were in the mother's womb. Lord, it is not how they were conceived that is important. It is how they were born. It is where they were born. It is why they were born. It is why they're here today. As little as they are, Jesus, you use them as principles to us, to show us that we should become like them. Our faith pure and clean and straight. We call green as green. We call red as red. They do that, those children here today. And Papa God, I just pray, Lord, your blessing upon them today. Father God, that your word will keep them. Your word will clean them. Lord, every time they come to church and be part of what you're doing, I pray that your Holy Spirit, oh God, Lord, your word says, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and the sons and daughters will prophesy, all men will dream dreams. Papa God, this is a generation that will dream dreams and see visions, oh God. And I pray, God, over them today that, Lord, you give them dreams, give them visions, oh God. Lord, speak to them in dreams that they will always say, God, I had a dream, I had a dream. I want you to tell me about this dream. Hallelujah. That is the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit. Father, I pray that they, the ones that will know truth, they will receive truth. They have received truth today. And that same truth, oh God, that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit will save them, will keep them safe, regardless of what the parents say, the teachers say, or the friends say. Lord, I pray today one prayer over the teenagers, that their friends that are causing them to stay away from church and going away from church, they'll be changed today. Today, there is no more of that friends in their life. I pray that you remove those friends. And I pray you bring people of clarity and principle. Those that have the same mindset as them, Lord, to come into their lives so that they can walk in the path of holiness and righteousness. And not play around with the things of the world, oh God. Father, I pray that over the teenagers and I pray that over the little ones here today. Lord, as they're standing here before you, pure heart, oh God. Nothing inside of them. But pure, pure heart. To believe, oh God. To believe not just your word, oh God, but that your word, oh God, can do something in their life. And Lord, I just release that over the children today. Holy Spirit, pray, Lord, over their lives today. Empower them, oh God. Thank you, Lord. It may be insignificant to them today, but Lord, in due time, in the fullness of time, Lord, we will see the manifestation of that power in their lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want the pastors to come and lay hands on the little ones right now. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that these are the ones that you brought this generation, God, that have come in this time and season, oh God. In the midst of chaos, these are the generation that stand up and speak truth. These are the generation that will stand up and reveal truth, oh God. Hallelujah. We pray that as Jesus prayed, that you preserve them and keep them safe, oh God. That they will accomplish, oh God, everything that you have purposed for their life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that not one of them will perish. Not one of them will be sick. Not one of them will leave us. Not one of them, oh God. All of them will be preserved, taken care of, watched over, that they may accomplish their purpose in you, Papa God. And I pray, oh God, this prayer over them today. Your word says, God, you gave this prayer to Moses, and you said, Moses, give it to Aaron the priest, and pray this prayer over the people today. Lord, I speak this prayer over their lives because the power of that prayer comes from you. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. I want us all to pray this prayer over the children. Ready? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, peace. That there is nothing missing in your life. Nothing is broken in your life. Wherever you've been conceived or came from doesn't matter. All that has been restored by the power of the cross. The finished work of Calvary. The blood of Yeshua. That's the blood that separates us from every other person, oh God. Father, I speak that prayer over their lives. Lord, and I pray that you empower that in their lives as they go. That people will see them, their friends will see them and say, there's something about you. There's something different about you. And Lord, they can say, yes, we know. We have Christ. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord, for your power. Empower them strong. I pray for your spirit to quicken their minds in the things of school. Lord, in the maths, in the English, and Lord, what social science and things that they're learning, I pray, Spirit, quicken their minds to understand those things, oh God. That they'll be sharp, that their marks will go up, oh God. That they become A students and not B students like their teacher. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that over their life, and we speak that over their life today. In no other name but the mighty and the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. And all God's people, all the parents, mothers, uncles, boo-boos, all agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to hug you all of you. I see your faces when I pray. Love you guys. Love you. Love you all.